This week's Sicha, Parshas Nasai, coincides with the Siyum of Masechtas Seita that many people are making, according to the Minig that is brought down in Hayem Yem. So the Sicha is an incredible Sicha with many, many Chidushim, and really, really has a lot that we can talk about. But we're going to focus on one little inyan of the Sicha, the last part of the Sicha, where the Rebbe talks about connecting the beginning of the Masechta, the Mishnah of Hamakana, the Ishtay, Kinui, where a man warns his wife about being in a private setting with another person, another man. And because of that, if she does that, she ends up drinking the seito, the waters, and the whole follow-up that goes on over there, which the everybody knows, Parshas Nasai, the Achichas of Seita, and Masechta Seita, that's what it's all about. Achelet God was all about. I can't say all about. So, usually there's no, it's Tchilosa Maseifim, Maseifim Tchilosa, the beginning of the Masechta with the end of the Masechta. Masechta ends up with the Maimer of the Gemara that says, Leitisne Yirischei, it says all the things that are missing today, and one of the things says Yirischei. So the Gemara says, no, don't say Yirischei, the Ikano, I'm there. Rav Sheshes, I think, says that I'm there, don't say Yirischei. So, we're not getting into the on their part, that's a different sikha. But here, the shaila is, how does that connect to the beginning? So, in the meshach of the sikha, the Rebbe discussed whether the first Mishnah is talking about kinui of a woman who sinned, or is it talking about a woman who is being accused, but she's really pure? And that's when he makes a difference in Rambam and Rashi. But in the end of the Sicha, he goes according to Rashi and says that, yes, it is talking about a woman that is really pure. And yet, and so why does it say, so it says this connects beautifully with the words Yiras Chet. Why? Because we know there's such a thing as Yiras Ha'inish, which is the more common thing that people are afraid of. This woman has no einish. On the contrary, she benefits. The only time and anywhere where a person has pure benefit from doing something that we'll see soon, the Rebbe says is something not really pure. Even what she did. So this woman is gets a great reward. The Niksa v'Nizra Zara, which the Gemara teaches us two opinions. And we'll talk about that soon. One, that she may have not had children before she will be able to have children, or that she will become any childbirth difficulties that she had will go away, and the children will be higher level, better, whatever. There'll be great rewards for her. So the only thing to hold back from doing anything of what she did, which we will discuss what she did and why it was wrong, or perhaps if it was wrong, is Yiras Chet, is not the chesor, not the yira of a punishment. It's a yira of a chet. And chet also comes to Lashon Chesed. It's a chet. You're doing something that's not appropriate. And it proves that by the fact that even this woman has to bring a mincha for a kapara, which is in itself is a discussion, but that's the assumption here, that he brings it as a kapara. And yet, it's an unworthy conduct of hers. Why is it unworthy? Why is it only unworthy? Why is it not totally wrong? You're not allowed to have yichud with another man? We'll discuss that shortly. The Rebbe continues and says, even if this woman's intent was why she went and made this play of making her husband think that she is involved with another man was only because she wanted to benefit the fact that she's going to have children. She didn't have children. She wanted to have children. But still, it's something wrong. There's a lack. There's something lacking. And that's why the connection of Letizna Yerizchay. If you have Yerizchay, this won't happen. Okay. So I want to discuss various issues here from this sikha and things that the Rebbe mentions in the Oris, which are unbelievable. And there are things that we need to address. So let's start with the thing. We're talking about only Yiras Chet. Chesar, it's not perfect. Why? She was Yichud with a man. What's how could that be? Question number one. Right? So you're gonna tell me there are answers to that. Let's give one of them. The answers, we'll talk about many and various answers. That we're talking in a case where this yichud is not osur midraisa. And we're going to discuss what those cases are later. Okay. If so, why does she need a kapar? If it's not osur. Why does she drink? Another problem. Okay. That's fine. Okay. Let's do that. Before we go further, let's take a look. And then we'll points out these gemaras. And I mentioned earlier the machlekes regarding what happens to this woman who is tahar. So there are two opinions. The Gemara in Masechta Seita, Daf Chavov, Amar Aleph, says that Yishmael says, "In Kain Yisteru Kol HaKoris V'Yifkedu." Got a solution for all the women. You know, we have Baruch Hashem a lot of organizations to help women. In infertility, it's a made of the Kazakh. But in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there's a solution. They will hide. They will go and they will be they'll be miyachet themselves with a man, and the husband after the husband is has suspicions and he'll be mekana her, and he'll take her up to Yerushalayim. And she'll drink the waters. And since she never did anything wrong, so therefore she will be able to have kids. A miracle will happen. She'll have kids. So the Gemara responds that if that's what happens. So therefore the Gemara says, no, that's not what's going to happen. It's only if she had pain during a very difficult childbirth, she'll have it easier. She'll have better children. The nicer children, prettier children, whatever. No, there won't be benefits in that. That's the response to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that she can have children if she did. Fractasis and not Nakash. If so, according to Rabbi Shmuel, this is Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. So the response to Rabbi Akiva, who said that she will have children. Rabbi Shmuel, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, a woman who suffers in childbirth is going to go do this, or she doesn't have to suffer anymore. Or she had children that were not very pretty or nice looking. She's going to want to have children that are nice looking. Or she has only female children. She's going to want a male child. These are all the things that she'll benefit, so she'll go do it. That's it. Akasha. The emphasis is the Rishalmi seems to think that Lashon Yishalmi, and it's not the same machlekes between the two, it's a machlekes of Amirayim, and it sounds like the taina there is that in a chanami, but both opinions, they're going to go and hide from both. Okay, so that's issue number one, that's the Gemara number one. Okay. So the question is, if it's osur, why would women do this? There's another famous Gemara in Brachas. I'm an Aleph. We know the Tfilas Chana. Chana didn't have any children. She was very pained by that. And we read the Haftarah every year on Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara there says that Chana said to the Eibishter, Imra'oi Tireh. So the Gemara says, Amra Abalaza, Amra Chana Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch. Chana said to the Eibishter, Ribbeinu Shelo, Imra'oi Muter. You're going to take care of my tefillahs? Good. Vimlav, I got a solution. I'll make you give me a child. Tireh, you'll see. Eilech, I will go. V'estater, and I will have yichud with somebody. Bifnei Elkana Baili, which people ask, what does that mean? Bifnei Elkana Baili. Bekivan de Mistatrano Mashkuli, he will have me drink Meisaita. And you got no choice now. Viata Isa Tarasa Plasti, not going to make fun of your own tire. Should have a nix of an Isra Zara. Finished. Okay, the Gemara ties in with this machlekes and this, but Al-Kabanim, that's what it says. That's what she said. So the question is, you talk about Hannah and the Via. How did she have such a thought of doing something that it's wrong? So this is a question that everybody asks. So we have a few issues here. We have the question of how did Chana do such a thing? We have Taisa's question of what's the difference between one and the other. So we'll address each one separately. Then there's another question, two more questions, and I want to address them quick. One of them we'll explain later. One question is, you know what happens by a Satan? You write out the Abish's name, or you take the Abish's name, and you put it into water, and it gets erased. You erase the Shem Hashem. So even if we get around some of the other issues of how were you able to do stira and whatever, but you're going to erase the name of Hashem for what? How can you do that? That's a long question. That's a very interesting question. The halacha is that from the time that she becomes usur, from the time that she's has yichud with this other man after kinui till he comes up to your shalayim to drink. So all during that time, it's all she's usur to her husband. So I saw a beautiful question: how could a woman do that? She's meshuba to her husband. She can't ask herself to her husband for such a long period of time. And it's going to take a while. I mean, going up to your shalim, today, with Corona, it also took time. It could take a year. All you need is a pandemic or other issues that hold up. I mean, how did you do that? That's all an interesting answer, that it's not her fault. It's his fault. He created it, so she has a right to do it. Okay, that'll take away that question. But the question of Mechikas Hashem, the question of Stira. Okay, going back to Taisus' question, what's the difference between having nice children, having better children, to the fact that she's going to have children? So there are various answers. The Marsha in Bracha says that the answer to Taisus is quite simple. Exactly what we're saying. You got to go do something's wrong here. To do wrong, to have nicer children, that's not going to happen. But to do wrong in order to have children, that's a different story. That people might go a little beyond the letter of the law in order to have children. It's not to have nicer children. That's not going to happen. Okay, so that at least we'll take away our tastes. We're going to take our tastes in many other ways, a lot of different answers. We'll get to that and we'll assign with that. One of the issues that we mentioned is the Isser of Stir. Before we come to Mechikas Hashem, which is that major issue. But let's talk about the Isser of Stir. So there's an interesting thing. The Rambam Paskins in Satan. Rambam says, Kinui, Berik, Alav, Aloha. First Aloha. Kinoi ha'omer b'teira v'kinei es ishtei hu sheyem alei b'fnei eidim. Never mentioned this in the Sikha. Altisti and Pliny. Afilo haya avia ayachecha. Even if it was her father and her brother, if he tells her, don't be in a room alone with him, that's kinui. So many want to say, there is that's kinui in adav and mutter. It's mutter. It's not mutter for her to have relations with the aliens, but it's mutter for her to be in a yichud situation with these people. And there's another halacha. The next halacha gimel in Rama. Kinala im shnayim kech. He said, don't be in a room with these two people. Two people is not us. It's not yichud. So, and unless they're prutzim, but it doesn't say anything here that they're prutzim. So why would there be a problem? So that's what they want to answer. Now what we're dealing with over here is a case where this, and the Rebbe alludes to it in the Hara number 64, mentions it, that there are, that he mentions one more case. He mentions another case. He doesn't mention the case of Shnayim, I think. He mentions the case, which many of the Mefarshim say, that was the word, Eilech v'estater l'fnei akona b'ayli, is that I will do it when he's in the city. And when b'ayla b'ir, there's no issa yichud. So that would be the case when the husband is in the city. The halacha is that since he can come anytime, so there isn't an issur of being alone in a room with a man. I mean, before anybody does that, should ask shailas halachas when, yeah, when not. But at least there's a solution. So it could be that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a case where the woman was not doing any issur. If so, what's wrong? Why is it considered something wrong? Now, how do I know it's considered something wrong? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's only wrong. First of all, that's the whole word in the Sikha that needs years. There was Medayik, that Yishalmi that we mentioned, the Yishalmi says, Bavli says, Yistru. Yishalmi says, Im yelchu kol anoshim v'yiskalkalu. They're going to do something wrong, v'yiskalkalu. So there's something wrong here. So how does it become wrong? Okay, so there's a Mishnah Melech. There's a lot of discussion about this. We're not getting into the whole omnis of it, but there is the Rebbe alludes to a Rambam in Hilchis Ishus Perik Chavdal and Aloche Chavdal, and that is Oymel Ishna Bifnei Shnayim Altistri of Ish Plaini V'Nichnasim Elastar Bifnei Shnei Edim V'Shoas Kedei Tumah. She was there for a certain amount of time. She becomes osel abayla until he drinks. She drinks the seita water. And if he dies before, she loses her ksuba. But we didn't see anything wrong. We haven't found any evidence. There is no greater indecent act than being alone in the presence of another man. But here we're talking about, the Rambam is obviously talking about all kinds of cases, even cases where the man is not also to be alone. Right. But the fact, so what's the fact that there was kinui, the fact that the husband told her not to have to do with this man, even in such a setting, that creates that even though all the atayrim, it's still a davar mechur. It's an inappropriate. Your relationship with your husband does not allow you to do something that creates a chashad to your husband that may result in something not permissible. So even though this act is not wrong, this act under these circumstances becomes a davar mechur, a pritzus, and is not accepted. Which leads to the greater question. We're talking about Chana. How could Chana do this? Good. It was a heter, it was this, but it's dumb. Ain't love dumb machur b'yezi. Don't Chana doing it. Now again, in the end, the last aura number 65, that's the Rebbe's question. He's referring to that. So if you're talking about women in general, they have children, okay, we'll give answers. They do it. But you talk about Hannah. Talk about Shmuel Hanavi. So just to note, there is another way of learning what Hannah said. And there are, that's a, the Pnei Yeshua learns like that. And that'll answer all the questions. Hannah was not intending to do that. She was just telling the Eibush that why am I losing out because I'm a good woman? Because I'm a tznua. And I don't want to do something that I can force the situation, she was saying. It was all part of her tefillah, telling the Eibush that you need to help me because I have a demand. She had a migui. She had a legitimate taina. I have this power in my hand, and I'm being erlich, so you're not going to reward me for that. You're not going to take care of my tefillah for that. That's the way the Pnei Yeshua learns. I think there's others who learn that way too. So if that's the case, that would definitely hold different meaning. It doesn't mean that she did it, but it's not the general understanding. I want to settle on one issue here, one explanation that I think will lead into a discussion that I would want to get into. One of the answers given regarding the Mechikas Hashem is that even though you're being Mechik Hashem, why were you Mechik Hashem, I said? Why were you Mechik Hashem, I said? The answer is up to Gemara. Because the Eibushter said, in order to bring shalom bayis between a husband and a wife, shmi shenichtav b'kedusha yimach. My name that was written holy should be erased. And that's why here we're dealing with shalom bayis. What's shot we're dealing with shalom bayis? Halacha is that if a husband and a wife are married a certain amount of time, they don't have children. Halachically, it's brought down. Again, there are a lot of conditions in it, and that's why it's not enforced today. It doesn't happen so often, but it happened in places, but even today. So, while we're at it, a famous story of one of the big rebbes today, who has a following of thousands of people, who was married for 18 years and didn't have children. And they came to the conclusion that they need to get divorced. And he has a brother who's a chassid of the Rebbe, and was right before Lag BaOmer, and they notified this brother he was speaking to his mother and said, this was the decision. He says, please don't do anything till after Lag BaOmer. And he, in the morning, this was a day of a parade, he wrote to the Rebbe about this. The Rebbe went to the mikveh, came out. The chances of getting an answer on Lag BaOmer morning and a day of a parade were minimal, but he did. He got an answer, Asker Alatzian. As soon as he got that answer, he called his mother and said, do not let them get divorced. I guarantee you they'll have children. And within the next year and a half or two, they had twins who both are married today. And they'll probably be the ones who continue the legacy of that Hasidus. But nevertheless, there was a discussion of a divorce. I know of other cases where, especially in the Rebbe families, it does exist. I mean, we know that the Rebbe had a very great affection for the Minchas Olazar. The Minchas Olazar was married for 10 years, he divorced, and remarried. And Taka had children from the second marriage. But that has existed. But either way. But so therefore, since there's a challah, so here it's a case of shalom bayis. Shalom bayis, you're allowed to do it. Okay, it's not so pushy, but So we're going back. We have to deal with both issues. Mechikas Hashem. And is this exactly the answer that's shown by, this is a Shalom Bayis issue? To the point that, you know, we're not dealing that they're fighting. They can have a peaceful way of separating. That's considered Shalom Bayis. And the issue of going beyond the law to have these children. So I want to perhaps suggest something based on another sikha that I wrote. The famous Gemara that Bishah Shekara David Shitten, when David made the Shitten, which is the water that was in the by the way, this is Gemara Sukkah, as I didn't mention that. That he made the hole in the ground under the where the Mizbeach is, and that's where the Nisach HaMayim used to go down, went all the way to the Tahaim. Kafa Tahaima, the Tahaim came up, rose, and Lashon of Ba'al Mishtefa Alma. It was going to flood the world. Destroy the world. What did David say? Oh my David. Is there anybody who can write a shame on an earthenware? And I'll throw it into the time and it'll stop. Nobody answered him. And then David said, everybody, they got to answer. Achitofel finally answered. He said, alas, is shalom minishli ishtay to make shalom between a husband and a wife. The Torah says, shmish and nichni b'gnushim achlamayim. Alas, is shalom v'chol ha'ilam, alach is gavim v'chal. So, he said, sorry, it's allowed. So, Fred, then, Akasha, maybe Akasha. Kuch nefesh, the world is going to be flooded. You need a kal v'chayme last of Shalom, let's do it. So he answers that David wasn't using natural sources. If it were a question of doing something naturally, that if you write the name of Hashem on a chasm, you put it in some natural way, it's going to stop. Of course, he doesn't need anything. He's using a unnatural or a way of doing it, which means he needs that it should work. Just writing the name on a piece of paper doesn't work. Now, if it's wrong to do, in other words, if there's no muck in writing the name of Hashem on a piece of paper, on a chaspa, it won't work. It's not going to work. There's this supernatural manner of doing things. It's not going to work. It's not like a kameya. It's not some place. It's not a heebie-jeebie thing. You got to work. You got to have a mucker. Oh, and says the Rebbe, that's why he looked for a source. Needed a source. That's where Achitayvu came along and says, I have a source that you are allowed to do this, to write the name of and erase it. In other words, you can't just go write the name of Hashem and erase it. It has to have a purpose that's worthwhile. So from the Shalom Bayis of Lasi Shalom Ben Ish L'Ishtai, making peace between a husband and a wife, is that Shalom Bayis is worth it. So Kol Shekein this. But, so leads us back to the question to some degree. Is she allowed to initiate such a thing? Come on, how can you initiate such a thing? How do you initiate such a thing? Who says it'll work? And there are those that can say it. It's lav dafka that it'll work. If you're initiating it, if your intent is for that. However, I would like to suggest something. I don't know that it's true, but it would answer the union, and it could be a nice approach. The Gemara Brachas, and again, we know the Sikha Chelik Chavtes, about Tfilas Chana, the greatness of Tfilas Chana, the uniqueness of Tfilas Chana. And the power of her tefillah was that not only did she affect change in her, she was able to affect change in who the child is going to be, you know, what kind of child he's going to be. So besides the fact that she wanted a child as a tzaddik, which is a great thing, and she was able to accomplish that in her tefillahs. As it says, V'nasato la'amoscho zera anosh. You will give them zera anosh. Frank the Gemara in Brachas. What is Zera Anosh? The Gemara gives a number of answers. And obviously we know that all answers are true and there's a truth to everything. Shmuel says he wants Zera Shemoshech Shnei Anosh, Shaul and David. I want the child who's going to anoint, my child should be the one that anoints these two people. In other words, I want a child that's equal to Moshe and Aaron. Shortel Kishnei Anoshim. And as we say, Davening by Kabbalah Shabbos, Pitul Tilim, Meshivarim, Bechein, Abishmul, Bekeyashim. So, perhaps, what she was saying is, I'm allowed to do this. The reason that she was justified in offering to do something that has some, because she is putting into place a child that's going to be, the whole world is dependent on that. Klal Yisrael is dependent on the Mashiach of Shaul and David. Not only that, Shaul lost. Why did he have two people? Because Shaul wasn't Meicha Zera Amalek. And that's when he needed David to come on and finish the job of Klal, what Klal Yisrael is about. So, and also a leader that's Shokel Kishna to Maishana. Oh, so now it's not only about her. It's not only about her having children. That, in economy, you're not allowed to do some of these things. This is a need of Klal Yisrael. This is a need of saving the whole of Klal Yisrael. Setting up Klal Yisrael with the Melucha of Shaul and David. And so forth. So could be, in this case, first of all, just like by the, as David came along and saved the world from getting drowned. So she is all part of that process of bringing David as the Melech into the world by having Shmuel who's going to anoint him. And in addition to that, because it's saving the world, it has an aspect of saving the world. She has a right to do what she was doing, even though there was somewhat of a lack in the fact that there wasn't an act that was so proper due to the fact that their husband would be Makana. If that's the case, it can work out. Al Koponim, the end result is that Kana was able to do it. Whether everybody else should do it or not, obviously it says he shouldn't. And that would be the reason not to do it. And that's the connection from the beginning of Masechtas Seita to the end of Masechtas Seita, that Yiraschet, that unique level of Yiraschet, prevents even such actions, except Mechana was a different story. Okay, that's the Sicha on this week. Hatzlocha Rabba Zay Gesund.